Praise the Lord. What a wonderful night in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So beautiful to be lost in the presence of the Lord, pouring out our spirits to Him. Well, tonight, title of the message, Fasting Prayers and Generous Gifts. Let's begin with Acts chapter 10, 1 to 4. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, centurion, 100 soldiers, Roman soldiers under his command, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Hallelujah. A minister friend of mine, Pastor Ed Allen, encouraged me with Acts 10 a few weeks ago, and how that Cornelius, with generous almsgiving and many prayers, that he built up a memorial, that the Lord recognized this man. And because of it, because of the strength of his giving, and because of the strength of his prayers, an angel was sent to him, and direction was given to him to further his life and the will of God and call upon him and his whole household. Well, I want to speak to Acts chapter 10 tonight. Fasting prayers, generous giving, praying always, these things are of great worth in the sight of the Lord. So much that as we look at this passage tonight, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak our heart, to speak to our hearts, this passage is teaching us that generous giving, fasting prayers, build up a memorial. They gain God's attention. You know, a memorial is something that evokes a memory. It may be a plaque, it may be a statue, it may be a monument, a war memorial, maybe a sign. People see these things and it evokes a memory. Well, the Bible says that if we're generous in our giving and we are men and women of prayer, that we build up this memorial, we are brought into remembrance before God. It's like a memorial, a monument built up. Some translations say it gains the attention of God. I don't know about you, but I think it wise to gain the attention of God. And this passage tells us how. Acts 10, verse 5. Was told Cornelius, Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Down to verse 29. Therefore I came, Peter said, without objection, as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. I trust that's our spirit. We're present here before God tonight, not before some preaching. We are here present before God to hear all the things commanded us by God. Cornelius had three things going for him. He had almsgiving, he had prayers, and he had fastings. These things are of great worth in the eyes of the Lord. They build up a memory. They build up a remembrance. They gain attention in God's sight. And interestingly, these are the very things Jesus mentions in precise order in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. So let's look at these three tonight. Number one, alms or charitable gifts. Alms, charitable gifts, gifts to help the poor and needy. Matthew 6, 1-4, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Your Father will reward you openly. This is a promise relating to almsgiving. Generous giving of finances to help the kingdom, to help people. This is of supreme importance in the sight of the Lord. We know there are three financial avenues incumbent upon every New Testament Christian: tithes, offerings, and alms. Tithes are 10% of our income. You make $50,000, $5,000 belongs to the Lord. You make $100,000, $10,000 belongs to the Lord. That's how simple it is. Offerings are gifts over and above the tithe. You can't even give offerings till you've taken care of the first 10%. Then you can move into offerings. Tithes are fixed. Offerings are flexible. Tithes are duty. Offerings are discretionary according to the prosperity and the liberality of the person. And then there is almsgiving, charitable gifts, gifts to the poor and needy. This is another form of offering. It's beyond the tithe, but it is distinct in that it's a gift given to help people that are in need. It's reflected in our benevolence fund, the church benevolence fund, as we seek to help and minister out needs and care for people. The response that comes from the congregation to the benevolence fund is of great value in the sight of the Lord. It's also reflected in our Widows and Orphans International, as we care for widows and orphans and needy children and help bring them to Christ and provide education and medical supply for them and bless them. These are almsgiving. And the Lord says to those who are involved in this, there is a great reward. He will reward us openly. He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. And what he has given, God will pay him again. That's the reward of the Lord. This, of course, charitable giving, these charitable gifts are also expressed as we go about our day-to-day life and we help with needs as they come before us here and there. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-7 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." God loves a cheerful giver. We pour it out. We know that our alms, we know that our generous giving is building a memorial, creating a memorial. It's gaining God's attention. He loves a cheerful giver. There's a saying that's been around for many decades: you can't outgive God. I kind of adjusted that for myself and say, you can't outgive God if your giving is led by the Holy Spirit. Let the Lord lead our giving, our generosity, our liberality, tithes, offerings, and alms. Cornelius, Acts 10, 1-2, a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Number two, prayers. Prayers. Matthew 6, 5-6. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. There's the promise. Jesus said, when you pray, not if you pray. He said, when you give alms, not if you give alms. He's expecting his people to have this generous spirit. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Let's look at a few scriptures really quickly under prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Luke 21:36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch therefore and pray always. Acts 10:4, Cornelius, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God, a memory, a remembrance in the sight of God, gaining God's attention. God's eyes go to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are loyal, whose hearts are perfect to him. God promises open reward to his people. And then we come to number three. Fastings. Matthew 6:16-18. Moreover, when you fast, not if you fast. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father, which is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The promise of open reward to those who will fast and seek the Lord. Fasting, by definition, is abstinence from food, daily intake of food in order to facilitate spiritual purposes. Abstinence from food in order to facilitate spiritual purposes. Denying our normal appetites so that we can sharpen our spirit, heighten spiritual awareness, build up our spiritual capacities and sensibilities. Keep the charismatic faith strong. Keep the fire burning. This kind doesn't come out but by prayer and fasting, Jesus said. There are some enemies that are stronger than others. There are some powers that are stronger than others. Fastings, seeking the Lord. Now, some people shudder when you say the word fasting. Some believers kind of, wow. They find it a trying and daunting proposition. It's a difficult ordeal. Well, maybe the Word of God can help us tonight. Maybe the Word of God can help us tonight, that we receive this Word from the Lord. Those that are young in their youth years, begin to fast, separate yourself to God. Young couples that need direction from the Lord, begin to fast and seek the Lord. Open up your heart. God says, I'll give you an open reward. My blessing will come on your life. My direction will come on your life. The Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. People of all ages, as we get older in age, we need the direction of the Lord just as much as when we were young. So why don't we separate ourselves? Say, Lord, I'm going to seek you with fasting prayers. I know there's an open reward for those who seek you with all their heart. Tragically, some Christians live out their entire Christian life and don't undertake regular fasting and prayer when there is so much reward to be gained, so much benefit according to God and His Word, what He will do, what He will pour out in our lives and in our families and spiritual realms, so much benefit. And yet many Christians, because it's kind of difficult in their thinking and spirit, they set it aside. Now, I hope nobody here tonight is hoping the conviction of this message lifts off them by the time they get out of the parking lot. We're here present before God to hear all things commanded by God for us. So much reward. So much reward if we will fast and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Psalm 35 and verse 13. I humbled myself with fasting. You know, there are some intense fasts. There's really three kinds of fasts. The absolute fast, no food, no water. And this can be undertaken from 1 to 3 days is the wise maximum for that fast. No food or water, 3 days maximum as revealed in Scripture, unless you're supernaturally sustained like Moses was. 2 40-day absolute fast back-to-back on Mount Sinai, but he was living in the presence of God. Then there is the normal fast, which is no food, only water, and that can be undertaken for certain days as a person determines. And then there is the partial fast, which is limited intake of food. Limited intake of food, sensitizing your spirit before the Lord. Well, David said, Psalm 35, 13 again, I humbled myself with fasting. The King James Bible says, I humbled my soul with fasting. I humbled my soul. Mel Davis calls the soul the living powers that are in us. Our soul, our living powers. Our soul is all of us, what we are. Force of personality, force of will, human spirit. David said, I humbled my soul, I humbled myself with fasting. And there's not one of us who doesn't need to humble our soul with fasting, our living powers with fasting. Because we can get too independent. We can get too full of ourselves. Opinions and agendas and human wisdom and overcome by certain recreations or even entertainments. Our life gets away on us sometimes beyond what it should. And so we humble ourselves with fastings and we set ourselves before the Lord. And we say, Lord, I'm going to set aside my food for your food. I'm going to set aside my life for your life. I'm going to set aside my strength for your strength. Receive from you. Humble my soul with fasting. Humble myself before the Lord. The Bible says those who humble themselves in the sight of the Lord, He will what? He will lift them up. There is an open reward. Lord, I'm going to take my eating time today, but I'm not going to eat the food of this world. I'm going to eat your food. In the eating time, I'm going to feed on your word. I'm going to take in your scriptures, your promises. Job 23, 12. Like Job, I have esteemed the words of his mouth, of your mouth, God, more than my necessary food. He said, I'm going to set aside my food on the table, and I'm going to go into the words and the promises of God. What glorious reward. Isaiah 58. These are amazing words, verses 8 to 11. The first part of the chapter talks about the fast that the Lord delights in. He said, if you will undertake fasting and seeking the Lord, abstaining from food, separating yourself, he says, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Oh, he's just going to go run out and get some more pills, some more meds. Something else to add to my plate. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That's the open reward. That's the promise of God. Come on, we've got to read it again. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go on before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. In the Bible, fasting brought breakthrough. It brought deliverance. It brought healing. It brought victory. Just ask Esther. Ask Ezra. Ask Nehemiah. Ask Job. Ask David. Ask Daniel. Ask Anna, who served God with fastings and prayers night and day in the temple. Ask the Apostle Paul in fastings often. They will instruct you. They will instruct us. Go into the book. These are our spiritual warriors. These are our spiritual mentors. These are our examples of faith. Go into the Word of God and read how they fasted and sought God and the reward that began to break forth upon their lives and upon the people of the Lord, and say, Lord, I received the wisdom of my fathers and mothers, spiritual fathers and mothers in Israel. Matthew 9, 14 to 15. Then the disciples of John came to Jesus saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? The 12, the 70. And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. It was going to be a new dispensation of grace, new covenant fasting. So Jesus said, the days will come, the bridegroom will be taken away. Well, the bridegroom was taken away 2,000 years ago in the ascension, and he's going to come again. But in the meantime, Jesus said, then my disciples will fast. All through the New Testament age, the disciples will be fasting. Now let's go to Acts 10 and verse 30. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, And at the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the time of the evening sacrifice in Old Testament days, mid-afternoon to late afternoon. 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. I was fasting until the ninth hour, till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Here's the good news. Now that's manageable. Now that's reasonable. Any Christian can do that. And God saw it so worthwhile, it so gained his attention that he sent an angel to that man and sent the word of the Lord and the future unfolding will of God into that man's life. Till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Anyone can do that. Get up in the morning prayers, get off to work or your duties, noontime, fasting prayers, seeking God, and somehow when you're fasting, you know, your spirit is just more alive. You're thinking about the things of God, even while you're working and doing, you know, your duties. The afternoon, 3 o'clock, fasting's over. Anyone can do this. Any Christian can do this once or twice a week or a few times a month on occasion. God says this will bring you great reward. This will bring you great benefit. This will bring you reward. It's something anyone can do. You know, the Bible just introduced us to a new fast. Let's call it the 3 p.m. fast. We can do this. Wow, get up in the morning, seek the Lord, 3 o'clock. Whew. Do you know that great men of God in history, some great men of God would fast twice a week till 4 p.m. Get up in the morning. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Begin to pour out their spirit to walk with God all that day. Come through fasting prayers or working in the Word, doing whatever the Lord had for them, their ministry. 4 o'clock, their working day is over. They fold back into the activities of the evening, into normal routine with their family, fellowship, and supper time, and rest, and recreation. This is how they serve God. This is a tremendous key, my dear friends. The 3 p.m. fast. And there will be amazing reward that comes forth in the lives of those that undertake it. You know, Sunday's a good day to try it. Get up Sunday morning, get up early, get in the Word, promises of God, get to the prayer room, get seeking the Lord. My, you know, you're almost through the noon fast by the time service is done. A few more hours, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, have a bite to eat, back to church. What a way to seek the Lord. What a day to fast and pray and consecrate yourself to the Lord. The Lord says, I see these things in secret and I will reward you openly. You know, sometimes almsgiving, financial giving is a duty before it becomes a delight. Sometimes prayers are a duty before they become a delight. And sometimes fastings are a duty before they become a delight. But Jesus said, if you will serve your Father in these things, he will reward you openly. And the blessing of the Lord will fall on your life and flow on your life all your days. Let's have the worship team return. And let's stand in the presence of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we are here present before you to hear all things commanded for us, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for the great grace upon our lives, Lord. Such a great inheritance we have, such a great future, Lord, that we would not waste our time, Lord. We would not squander the opportunities you've given us in the kingdom, but we would be people, Lord, like Cornelius, generous almsgiving, generous finances, cheerful givers, Lord. Praying always, men and women of prayer in the prayer rooms of the house of God, for my house shall be called a house of prayer. Father God, praying always, praying day to day, praying, Lord, when the corporate prayer services are, as your word says, we should gather, Lord, we gather to pray together. The power of God would rest upon the church and your will would be done, your kingdom would advance. And Lord, the fastings, the matter of the fastings and their cry. And so we thank you for wisdom. We receive it tonight, Lord, in your holy name. Amen. Amen, Lord. Let's lift up our song to the Lord as we surrender.